brought us through for many years, that you'll continue to grant us your grace and your mercy, and to bring us through. Lord God, as we gather here this day, on this sixth, seventh day of the new year, and on a very cold day, we ask you to be among us now by your Holy Spirit. We invite the Holy Spirit to come now, come with all of your quickening power, so that our coming will not be in vain. And Lord God, we pray for all of those who couldn't come out today, the older folks who couldn't get out today. We pray that they will feel your presence wherever they are. And for those of us who are here, we know you're here with us. So speak now, because we're listening. Speak a word of hope and a word of love and a word that we could live by. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And it's good to be alive. You know, every new year, one realizes that more than any time during the year, even though every day, as the writer of Great is Thy Faithfulness says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Every day should be like a new year, isn't it? Because every day is a morning that God has granted us. Granted us to get up and to move about. And there are many folks who did not get up this morning. But here we are by God's grace. And so we give God thanks. Thanks for all God has done for us. And as the song says, morning has broken. Thanks be to God that we have seen this morning that is broken. Oh, we give God our praises. Praise for the singing. Thank you, Lord. And so my sermon title today is the promise of baptism. You know that as we go through the cycle of the liturgy and lectionary studies, lectionary scriptures, we are now at the baptism of Jesus, right? He's now grown since Christmas Eve, if the kids were here today, but we know they don't come up today. Yes, Jesus has grown since Christmas Day, and he's now 33 and a half. He's now 30, and he's going to be baptized. And so my sermon title is The Promise of Baptism. And then there is this story, you know, there is a lot of little reflections that pastors use. And I saw this reflection that starts this way. And it says, there's a ridiculous story about a priest who was about to baptize a young child. He approached the father of the child and said solemnly, baptism is a serious step. Are you prepared for it? I think so, the young father replied. My wife has made appetizers, and we have a caterer, it's getting better, and we have a caterer coming to provide plenty of cookies and cakes for all of our guests. I don't mean that, the priest responded. I mean, are you prepared spiritually? Oh, sure, came the reply. I've got a keg of beer and a case of whiskey. Now, this came out of one of those, you know, we pastors, we have these little funny stories that we read. Isn't that amazing? And so the writer says, I saw that yesterday when I was pondering how I would start out. And I said, this crowd would get it. They would understand. Some crowd, you can't use it, and they'd be looking at each other. He says, I'm not sure this is what the priest had in mind when he asked the young man if he was spiritually prepared. And that's not what I'm asking you today either, if you're spiritual. Today we are celebrating the baptism of our Lord. And you know the story. We know the story. A man named John was baptizing people out in the wilderness in the Jordan River, which means he was several miles outside of Jerusalem. This is interesting because the Gospel of Mark tells us that the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Obviously, John was a remarkable preacher. Everybody wanted to hear him. He appealed to a large section of the population, enough so that many of them walked for many miles to be touched by his ministry. That's what we have heard in the text. It is also interesting that John's preaching was of a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's message was that one should repent now for the forgiveness of sins, because one was coming after him who would baptize in the Holy Spirit, who he was not even worthy to kneel down and buckle his shoes, and that one would be Jesus. Scholars tell us this was highly unusual for Jews. Jews believed that only Gentile converts to Judaism needed to be baptized. They did not believe that they needed to be baptized. Why? We know why. Because Jewish males were circumcised. They had the mark of circumcision, and they believe they are already included in God's family. According to the customs of the day, these Gentile converts had to do three things. So if you were a Gentile convert, wanted to convert into Judaism, you had to do three things. First, if the convert was a male, he had to be circumcised. This was the defining mark of a Jew. I just said that. Second, a sacrifice had to be offered as a payment for his sin. Under Jewish law, right? There'd be the grain offering or the sin offering, whatever that offering was, that would have to be offered. And third, the convert had to be baptized. So baptism, the Jewish folks knew about baptism. It is not just out of the New Testament. They knew about it because, and so they understood when John was talking about baptism, but only Gentiles were expected to be baptized. Folks like you and I, and of course doing the other two things. So you know that women were not circumcised under Jewish law because they were under their husband's circumcision, right? The men were circumcised and the men were under that covering. This was literally a full bath in which the whole body was bathed. They would put you in, you know, and the whole body was bathed. This ritual symbolized a cleansing from all the pollution of sin in his life, because it was always a man, so that he might start a new relationship with God. So you had to go into a full bath to be baptized under Jewish law. No such ritual was required of Jews, however. Still, people, mostly Jews, they poured out from Jerusalem and the surrounding territory to be baptized by John. Could it be that the people of that area were becoming aware of their sin and their need for repentance? I suspect most people today would never admit that each of us stand in the need of repentance. You know, we don't talk about repentance now, right? We, you know, when folks come to join the church, we do answer those questions about repentance in our liturgy. You know, when we are here in our, you know, as we go through joining the church or baptism, we talk about repentance. But folks don't say, well, you know, I've accepted Christ. A lot of us, especially in the mainline churches, oh, I've repented of my sin. But we're supposed to. It is biblical, and it's also in our tradition. You know, and I doubt, as I said, that most people today even know what repentance means. What repentance really means. Repentance really is a change. It's realizing that one has not done everything God has expected us to do, and we are asking God to forgive us. We can't ask God for forgiveness if we're not repenting, right? Whatever it is, we have to be repenting of it when we ask for forgiveness. And when we say we're forgiving someone, when I says I'm forgiving someone or you're forgiving me, have you expected me to be repenting of whatever I'm doing, right? That's the whole idea, that one is sorry for what one has done and want to repent of it. Christ would be baptized, but he did not have any sin to repent. His baptism was for something else, for our salvation. Baptism is a powerful force in the life of Christians for two reasons. First, it is something we share in common. We all share baptism. Christians all over the world can say that they were baptized in Christ. You meet a Catholic in Ireland, and he or she was baptized. Doesn't matter when we do it, infant or adult, when you meet a Catholic, they are baptized. You meet a Pentecostal in Nigeria, he or she was baptized. You meet a Methodist in Hicksville, we're baptized, don't we? That's the idea. The second reason is a powerful force is that baptism takes us back to the basics. Baptism takes us back to the beginning, the point of what we know in our scriptures of the original sin. We share by our faith this common symbol, this initiation, this rite, this power of God over the deep and often raging chaos of life. We know the water. We understand the importance of the water of baptism. All over the world, baptism unites us. Wherever we are today that people are preaching from this text, we are all preaching from the same gospel about baptism. As parents and teachers and leaders today, we would do well to remember that life is still composed of this basic tenet of the church. That is why when Mark comes to open this gospel, he did so with baptism of Jesus at the Jordan. Baptism reminds us of the three R's of the soul: repentance, righteousness, and revelation. Meaning that we first repent, and then we become what we are, become righteous through God, Jesus Christ's forgiveness, through God's forgiveness of our sins. And then the revelation is that it is revealed to us that now salvation is free. We are one of God's children. And so, friends, I want to talk to you a little bit today about the promises of baptism. That baptism comes with its promises for us. It is not empty words. And that's why we keep doing it, don't we? And as we may debate as Methodists, we may debate as Protestants, why there's infant baptism and there isn't infant, and then there's adult baptism. We call that believer's baptism. The Baptists call adult baptism believer's baptism, saying, and for them it means, that's why the church broke away, one of the reasons why the Baptists after the Protestant Reformation and then the Anabaptists broke away from the other Protestant on one of that fact, because Martin Luther was a Catholic priest, and he did believe in infant baptism like we do, because we believe that baptism is a mystery of God, right? And in the scriptures we know that households were baptized, babies were baptized. Scripture tells us in Acts of the Apostles, we know that, so we know it's scriptural, right? And we know that the children have covering, and that's why then that was added into our liturgy for the confirmation. Right, that when they become 12 or a young person was baptized, they would go through confirmation. They'd be saying yes to God for themselves. Right, so that's what we believe in. But whether we believe in infant baptism, we believe in infant and adult baptism, and then the Baptists believe in being in the church. I'll use the Baptist for an example. You're welcome into the church, but it's a believer's baptism, so only adults are baptized. Babies are christened, so to speak. They don't use water, they may use a little oil, and they christen them, and then adult baptism. We have that in common, that we need baptism for the forgiveness of sin, right? We need that. So therefore, we get that. That's our commonality, that Jesus Christ was baptized. That means whatever time in our life, some folks don't get baptized when they're young, and then they realize when they're grown, baptism is important. I was just told 2 days ago, this gentleman called George Arnby just passed away. He was 93. He lived a long life, but he had been married. He had been a Catholic, I guess, and didn't raise up in a church, or didn't go to church. And he was married to a Methodist woman. They had been married for years, and still he has gone home now. He just passed the other day. But he had been in that church for many, many, many years, the Methodist church, and he would come to church and was faithful. George Hornby did everything in the church, but in his head he had been waiting. He was not baptized. Don't remember being baptized as a child. And all these years he was in that church, and he would be thinking about baptism. I did not know that, of course, and just a wonderful man. I was thinking about him because they had called me and told me that he went home to be with the Lord. And then one day he came, the wife and him came up to me, and she said, George said, you know, Reverend Nunes, I'd like to talk with you. We went into my office, was off the sanctuary, and he said, I'd like to be baptized. He was like 80-something then. He says, I want to be baptized. And I was taken, and I said, do you want to be baptized? George, you've been here forever. And he said, you know, because, you know, I was just It was, you know, how sometimes that happens to me, just comes out. So, you know, it's not intended, but I said, but George, you've been here forever. You know, every now and then the Holy Spirit has to say, stop it, you know. But I don't mean it. It's just, you know, my what is in my mind comes out sometimes like a baby, you know. Too late, yes. And he said, he looked at me and then on a serious note, his eyes filled up and he says, I've always wanted to be baptized. I've never been. And he had felt left out. And he says, if I don't get baptized, and I forgot his wife's name now for a minute, I'll come back. And if she passes on before me, I won't see her because I'm not baptized. Like when he goes home to be with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And he asked me if he could get baptized in private. Because he didn't want the... So I said, you know, baptism really means being in the church, you know. The church welcomes you as part of the family. But I know how wonderful Jesus is, right? And how loving and faithful and forgiving he is. So I says, we'll get a couple of people from the church, a couple of the older people that he knew, and his sister-in-law, she was alive then, and then we will do the baptism in my office. So I could have those who represented the church so that he wouldn't feel, you know, put out. And I tell you, when we went to that little baptismal, you know, the liturgy that we read for baptism, and as we said it, that older man wept and wept. He had been, what? Received into the family of God. He felt that he had been received all those years. He had been received. And so when I heard yesterday that he passed away, I thought, look at George. He has gone home now to see his maker. Huh? And feeling better. So we know that baptism for us is important. And the water of baptism, we know that this is just a symbol. I put some water and I was going to sprinkle you all, but I thought about it. No, we won't do that today because people are too cold. Yeah, that's why I changed my, I was getting warm water. I put warm water in here, but I said it's probably no longer warm now. And I don't want you to run away from baptism, because it's important. But the water for us in this thing is just a symbol, isn't it? Whether we are dipped in a whole bath of water, and some of us, Helen Rosada, needs to be in a whole bathtub of water. To be washed from top to bottom. You know, some of us need that. Some of us, a little sprinkling is good enough, you understand? But for some folks, we have to wash them and wash them again. But once baptized, we're always baptized, right? Baptism is once and for all. And this one, they would rebaptize you, trust me. And so this water is a symbol of the washing away of sins, right? It means that was the whole idea of the sins being washed away. And so even if we do sprinkling, as we as Methodists do, we will immerse you. You know, if you need it. There, I was in a church in Brooklyn that didn't have a thing, but the Baptist church at the tank, and we scheduled baptism there. And trust me, the first time I went down in the water with somebody, and they were grabbing onto me, I thought we're going to drown together. Right? Because they were holding on, and as they were going down, and it was a deep tub, and... You know, and that was my first experience in the tub. You know, I've seen baptism. I went to Israel, and I was reaffirmed in the Jordan River. And I nearly dragged down the pastor, the poor man. But anyhow, the guy was just grabbing me down, and I says, Lord, don't let me die here today. So, you know, people get very overwhelmed because it's such an emotional and important thing, our baptism. And yes, we could laugh, we need to. We live in times that things are serious, so we need to be able to understand its importance. But we can laugh, because it's true, this means the washing away of our sins. So when we baptize a baby, and we lay hands, and we sprinkle, or we pour, sometimes we will pour, if it's an adult, and or we will immerse, or we will sprinkle. And if somebody out here had a tank, and anybody here wanted to be baptized, if you've already been baptized, we wouldn't baptize you again. It's called a reaffirmation. Because you can't say that God got it wrong the first time. Right? If you were baptized, even if a baby was baptized, we cannot say that it was what? Wrong the first time.
So when you're baptized and you get baptized, you ask, we call it a reaffirmation of your baptism. Remember your baptism and be thankful, right? So here are the promises that baptism does as I bring this in. First of all, the first promise of baptism, God will forgive my sins. God will forgive your sins. First promise, right? That's what it says. We say when we're blessing the water over baptism, I think I was supposed to be baptizing a child next week. I have not spoken to the parents, but I will take care of that. It says, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and for those who receive it and to wash away their sin. That's what we say when we baptize, right? Every good Protestant knows that, and every Roman Catholic knows that, and every believer. Forgiveness of sin, the symbolism, right? Now, the water doesn't forgive you. We know that. I just said that. God forgives us. The water is a sign of that forgiveness. It's only a sign of the forgiveness of your... It's a sign of forgiveness of our past sin and our sin, our sin to come. Do you know that? Right? We still have to ask for forgiveness, but that water washing away is a promise of the forgiveness of our future sins. That means if we commit sins in the future, we have that promise that God will forgive us. Right? That God will. So, but don't, please, guys, see somebody laughing. Just don't keep sinning now. Because God may just surprise us one day and says no more. So I'm trying to be on the safe side, Dick, and don't sin anymore. Number two. God, I know when I'm, you see, all of a sudden I hear a little chuckle and I says, somebody's thinking about if I keep sinning, I'll be forgiven. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We got to work at getting better, right? And not keep doing the same thing over and over. I'm telling you, I'm going to have to wash some people in a tub. Thank you. I'll start with Dick. Number two, God claims you and me as one of his children. That's the second point. He claims us now. We've become one of his. It says in our liturgy, it says, clothe him or her in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. Right? So we are now part of the family. It is said that Martin Luther, you know Martin, the leader of the Protestant Reformation, in the early 1500s, used to, on an occasion, suffer with bouts of extreme depression. You know, he felt that he was not worthy. You know, he had to get hold of grace at some point. You know that? He had got hold of grace and he realized. But they said when he would become depressed, he would force himself to go and look in a looking glass. And do you know what he would say? He would say, Martin Luther, you are baptized. Martin Luther, you are baptized, over and over again. And do you know, that meant for him that you belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. So when he got depressed or he felt out of the will of God, he would look in the mirror and he would say to himself, Martin Luther, you are baptized. He was reminding himself that whatever he has done, he is forgiven, and he belongs to Christ. Amen. Sometimes we have to remember that, you know, to remember to say, I'm baptized. I belong to Christ. I should live that way, right? I should seek to live that way. And so he would do that over again. The third, God promised me a life of meaning and purpose, right? He promises that. He says here, we say through baptism, you are incorporated in by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation. Right? That's what we lay hands and we says, we say, Marjorie, you have been baptized by water and now by the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, you are now incorporated in God's new creation, which is the church. Right? And so our life becomes to have meaning and purpose. And the last one, number four, God promises to give me and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the difference of John baptism. John baptism did not give the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, he says, repent of your sins. And there's one coming who, when he baptizes you, will give you the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus came, and after Jesus came, died and resurrected, and the Holy Spirit, he sent the Holy Spirit. All the baptism now that we do, we don't debate it. We said, receive ye the Holy Spirit from our liturgy, right? Mary Jane, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit now begins to work in you, that being born of water and spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Right? Receive the Holy Spirit. So I know, you know, sometimes we Protestant Christians, some of us believe that the Holy Spirit is hocus pocus. But let me tell you, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us.
Amen.
Amen, right? They says when he was coming out of the water, the Spirit was like a dove, right? When I was reaffirmed in the Jordan River and they were holding me in the water and I thought I was going to drown, but I kept saying, Lord, can't I just see a dove? Can't I just see a dove? I wanted a dove to come. You know, we want everything like Jesus. But the dove must have come and gave me the Holy Spirit because I'm filled, but I didn't see it. But I believe it. I believe it that we receive the Holy Spirit. So we see that is important. And so Paul will remind the church, you know, that baptism is important, that we are found to be. He said to them, they were asking, were you baptized? And somebody was saying, well, it's like you were baptized by Pastor Marjorie, or were you baptized by Pastor Riss, or you baptized by Pastor Smelser? We don't have to say that, because Pastor Riss, Pastor Smelser, Pastor Marjorie, Pastor Benson, all of us, we baptize under the same language, same theology, right? Unless we're crazy Methodists, and there are some of us who are, some other folks. But we are baptizing under the same thing, right? The name of the Father, the name of the Son, the Holy Spirit. So there doesn't have to be that debate. But in that day, they had a debate because some had been baptized by John for repentance of sin. And they didn't feel like they received the Holy Spirit. You see, that's what the text was saying. So they didn't feel like, so they were worried, and he would baptize them in the name of the Lord. And some Christian, you know, argued about that. I won't get into that today. That's all theological nonsense. But, you know, is it the Lord or is it the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? But, you know, so that was, and the Lord represents Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Huh? So whatever that is, I could debate that with folks, but that's not for today. So we want to be thankful of our baptism. We want to know that it's important and that God has done that for us. It is common for all Christians to be baptized. And as I close, I want to say to you that baptism is about a new living. That when we are baptized and when we realize that we are baptized by Christ, that we begin to do what? To live differently. We should. To see God's face. And so let me close with this little final reflection. And this was from a Presbyterian pastor. She wrote this. She says, a 10-year-old boy in our congregation named Cameron walked into our office and said he needed to talk to her. Fresh from soccer practice and wearing his Cincinnati Reds baseball cap, he had a request for her. He said, I'd like to be baptized, he said. We were learning about Jesus' baptism in Sunday school, and the teacher asked the class who was baptized, and all of the other kids raised their hands. And I want to be baptized too, he said. Using her best pastoral care tone of voice, she said, Cameron, do you really want to be baptized because everyone else is? And his freckles winked up at her, and he replied, no, I want to be baptized because it means I belong to God.
Amen.
And she was touched by his understanding. Well then, she said, how about this Sunday? His smile turned to concern and he asked, do I have to be baptized in front of all those people in the church? Can't I just have a friend baptize me in the river? And she asked, where he came up with that idea. Well, Jesus was baptized by his cousin John in a river, wasn't he? Caught off guard, she conceded, you have a point. But if a friend baptized you in the river, how would the church recognize it? Realizing this was a teachable moment, she climbed up on the footstool to reach her Presbyterian Book of Order that was located on the high shelf. She was going to give him a lecture on what the Book of Order said. But before she placed her hand on the book, he responded, I guess by my new way of living, he said.
Amen.
She nearly fell off the stool and left the Book of Order on the shelf. Cameron's understanding was neither childish nor simple. It was profound. Baptism calls us to a new way of living.
Praise the Lord.
Right? He knew it. That little boy knew it. He says, she says, how are we going to know? How is the church going to know? Because of my new way of living. Because I'm changed. Changed in Christ. So friends, today, on this day of the baptism of the Lord, as we remember his baptism, and since I tried the water and it's not too, I want you to remember your baptism. To remember your baptism, it's warm.
I brought it hot.
She got it hot. Thank you, Zamzam. So remember your baptism, friends, and I won't be pouring it on you, but remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. I need to get over here. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Ah, yes, remember your baptism and be thankful. Some folks, you know, I have to save the rest for you know who. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Oh, praise the Lord today. Right? We're remembering our baptism. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. I have to get on that side. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Be thankful to the Lord that you're saved. Remember your baptism and be thankful, friends. Remember your... I've got to make sure that I get folks. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what we want to remember that during the beginning. look at her. Remember, no. Remember your baptism and be thankful. We're praying for her. Remember your baptism and be thankful. 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 Friends, we remember our baptism today, and we are thankful that we are saved, and we have been saved by the Holy Spirit of God, by Jesus Christ. Remember your baptism. I'm getting everybody because they're coming. We are doing the Lord's work. Remember our baptism and be thankful. And be thankful. Oh, praise God. Remember your baptism. I'm going up that side. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Oh, thanks be to God, right? Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism. And she's going to be in heaven, you know. We're going to be surprised. But she's going to be there. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Oh, praise God. Remember your baptism. Oh, we give God thanks and praise for our baptism, don't we? And that we know that we are part of God's family. And so, choir and folks, remember your baptism and be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Oh, praise God. Praise God. It's holy water. Some people get a little bit more, don't they? Praise God. Remember your baptism and be thankful. I'm giving you enough for you and Dick. Oh, praise God. Remember your baptism. Try not to get you all too much. My hand was a bit heavy over there. And be thankful. Oh, praise God. Remember your baptism. Thank you for your service to the church. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Oh, praise God. Let's give God a hand. Amen. I praise God. And I remember my baptism and be thankful. Praise God. Thanks be to God for that.